Colleagues, welcome back to the office and welcome to our podcast and presentation for today. This is Next Generation Excel Reporting Part 1. This is our first part in probably a 6-7 who knows how long series talking about the next generation of Excel reporting. Excel is a tool that we all have some measure of familiarity with. Most of us use it day to day for everything from balancing our checkbook to producing complex financial statements and more. But Excel is a living, breathing thing. It has been updated, it has been modified, it has changed a tremendous amount over the years. And what this course is going to be looking at is some of the next generation functionalities that you might not have worked with much lately. There are about five functionalities in particular that I consider kind of the next generation for Excel reporting that can improve just about every aspect of your utilization of this application. It can improve the way you produce just general reports to, again, those complex financial statements and more. By the end of this series, you will have mastered these different tools and will be flying with all the next generation skills and capabilities with respect to creating your reports and whatever direction you might need to go with that. So in today, the first episode of this series, we're going to discuss what is next generation Excel reporting. These five tools that I've mentioned, you know, they are data modeling, they are Power Query, they are Power Pivot, data analysis expression, or DAX, slicers, and timelines. We're going to introduce the interrelation of these major components together and kind of talk about holistically what you should be considering with respect to your next generation reporting. Then we're going to go ahead and dive into tables and data modeling, which are kind of the cornerstone, the foundation of best practices with respect to reporting. We'll touch upon Power Query, what it is, what it functions, why you should be using it, as well as different ways of creating your data modelings with Power Pivot and then modifying those data models with DAX, data analysis expressions, and more. So as I mentioned, this is the first of at least a 6-7 part series. So we're going to go ahead and introduce these topics today, talk about how they kind of work together, and give some practical hands-on examples with where and how you'd use these different tools. Good news, the majority of this podcast series is going to be conducted inside of Excel, so it will be hands-on for a majority of our course. Now, I do want to remind you, if you're a financial professional, you can earn credit for listening or watching today's podcast, wherever you happen to receive your content. Head on over to cpetoday.com, use course code NGE1. You'll take a short 5-question quiz and you will earn a credit for today's class. It's efficient, it's fast, it's easy. You can listen while you're driving on the way to the office or your way home, then come home, take a quick quiz, and you will earn a credit. Besides our podcast, we have tons of other content in accounting, audit, tax, and all different areas that you can check out for whatever your continuing education needs are. Now, today's class was presented live to a studio audience very recently at a state society conference. So we're going to go ahead and take a look at this here, and I will join you at the end of our podcast today for three quick review questions and to wrap up. Enjoy.
Let's go ahead and discuss what this next generation reporting inside of Excel might be. And then we're going to dive into each of these functionalities and determine how they will work and function. So, for better reporting, we have, in my opinion, five functions that really can benefit the organization and really kind of add a tremendous amount of value to the work that you are doing, regardless if you are a bookkeeper, a CFO, controller, project manager, or anybody else. You can use these functions to improve the way that you're utilizing Excel on almost a project-by-project basis. Not every single one of these you're probably going to need every single time, but what I often try to focus on is improving and building what I like to think of as the digital toolbox or your tool belt as a professional. You know, and I want as many tools as I could possibly put on my tool belt to improve the way that I do my reporting and improve the applications that I use. These applications, when used effectively, it's like you're a time traveler in the sense that you gain more time than when you originally started with. So these five functions, again, are data modeling, which is the predicating functionality for pretty much everything we're going to discuss here, which includes tables as well and relationships. We have Power Query. Power Query is going to be our tool that allows us, for example, to be able to get and access data from just about anywhere. We have Power Pivot. And again, despite its name, not a pivot table tool, but rather a tool for modifying and manipulating the data model inside of Excel. We have DAX, data analysis expressions, which are all about creating formulas for data that is inside the data model. And then we have slicers and timelines, which are an easy and fantastic way to be able to modify our data from the end user's perspective. So if we talk about some of the existing ways that we've done Excel and why these tools help improve, one of the things is with respect to just generally how complicated Excel can be for most people and how time consuming Excel can be for most people. You know, I would say that most people have their own relationship with Excel. They know, for example, the way that they do their work, but they don't necessarily know maybe best practices for how Excel is designed to do the work. Now, Excel is one of these applications that is pretty ubiquitous at this point. Virtually every organization has it. Most of us have some experience with it. So utilizing this program is in our best interest because it really doesn't require us to do anything different than what we are currently doing. There's no upfront investment, maybe some training, but really kind of no additional tools really can be done to do anything more effectively in Excel. It's just using the program better. So some of the things that we get and challenges that are associated with traditional Excel reporting is the fact that most of our spreadsheets are formula-based, and formula-based spreadsheets are really kind of prone to error, and they're difficult to troubleshoot. The reason being is that if I design something and I write a formula in cell one and then another formula in cell two and cell three, I can end up with three different formulas. Now, Excel does have some functionality to help, for example, improve the ability to make our reports more consistent, but there's no design standards with respect to how you can do it. And you can end up with two people tackling the same problem in two very, very different ways. So the fact that it's formula-based, the fact that each spreadsheet is discrete from the other spreadsheets, and there's not really easy ways of being able to tie that all together, can make it quite difficult to use. The next big issue with Excel is the fact that it's not great when managing large volumes of data. You know, with over a million rows and 16,000 columns, you can do a lot with Excel, but it's not really a big data tool. You know, with big data, we're talking about sometimes analyzing millions or even billions of individual data objects, which is increasingly becoming more popular. You know, if we think of even the modest size organization, it's not uncommon to have even a million or a couple million transactions in a given year. If we think about line items for orders, as an example there, Excel will chug it along up to about a million, but then it starts to struggle. However, using data modeling, using Power Query, we can actually get around that limitation. And I'm going to show you how we import in some large spreadsheets and work very easily. Well, getting into spreadsheets can be quite difficult, and it can be quite tedious and time consuming. Instead of, you know, kind of having more of a application-based approach, a more systems-based approach, a more, let's say, for example, a automated approach, we have to actually open a discrete file, okay? And we actually have to go into it. It's not like essentially automatically populated in the application that we are using. Additionally, getting data into Excel can be quite difficult as well. We are often running reports in whatever system we're choosing to use. You know, it could be QuickBooks, it could be Open Systems, it could be Dynamics 365 or whatever else. But, you know, we have to be able to pull that data into Excel. And often we're exporting files, which again creates this read-only situation where we're repeatedly doing the same work over and over again. With Power Query, okay, that incredible tool that I mentioned, we can automate a lot of that. One of the tools that I'm going to talk about, or one of the examples I'm going to give you today, is one of the tools that I use in our organization called Clockify, which is fantastic with respect to automation for timekeeping. It's, in my opinion, one of the absolute best timekeeping applications out there. Well, using Power Query and data modeling, I've essentially built a spreadsheet that will connect directly to our Clockify and pull down that data automatically for us, bypassing the need to export data from that tool and manually calculate it. It's really kind of cool in doing so. Okay, summarizing across dimensions can be very difficult, absent of things like pivot tables. So, you know, we typically have factual data that we're doing math on, you know, so for example, order total, line item total, tax amount, and then we have dimensional data that summarizes it. That dimensional data could be categories, it could be, you know, general chart of accounts information, it could be tags, it could be something else like that. But you know, kind of getting that 2 or 3D dimensional analysis, unless we're using something like a pivot table, could be really difficult. Well, these tools can assist with that because they allow us to kind of pre-program our data to be able to display that correctly. We run into issues with respect to upper management and people who do not work with Excel. You know, in my professional career, I come across this quite frequently working with business owners. And they might be really good at what they do. You know, a good example of this would be like a restaurateur that's also a chef. They might cook incredible food, but they rarely lack, let's say, the analytics and analysis skills really to understand the information that their various systems, like their point of sale system or maybe their restaurant management system, is producing for them. You know, and so they lack the ability to be able to gain the insight to make better and more effective decisions with respect to food and what menu items appear and how much staff gets scheduled. And, you know, to be fair to them, that's not their job. You know, it's often running the restaurant, keeping people happy, making delicious treats. They're not there to live in spreadsheets in the same way that we are. You know, so if we can find ways, for example, to make this simpler and easier for them, that's what we should do. And one of the biggest issues as I see it with spreadsheets, as much as I love them, the second you produce whatever report you're doing, it's out of date. You know, and that's something increasingly that we need to figure out a way of working around because, you know, we want to be working with up-to-date software and we want to be working with up-to-date reports. You know, often with accounting, we're doing the same reporting month in, month out, day in, day out. We might be doing the same report 365 days a year, thereabouts. Wouldn't there be a great way to be able to automate a lot of this so we don't even have to think about it anymore? You know, so that essentially that report that we run, we can just hit refresh and it calculates to the current standards and the current dates that we've selected. Most of us are spending hours and hours per day inside of Excel. You know, I would say on average, we're probably spending upwards of 2 hours. So, in fact, there was a recent report from the State of the CFO that says that on average, we're all spending about almost two and a half hours per day inside of Excel. So these five features can really be effective and helpful with respect to how we will work with making our reporting better, more effective. Let's go ahead and switch over and take a look at some of these items. And let's start with just a general conversation about how and where these items would be used in conjunction with each other. And then we'll dive into each one specifically. Okay, now before I actually show you what we're going to do with today, I do want to familiarize you with just a few things inside of Excel that I think will make our conversation hopefully a little bit easier. Okay, now the first thing I want you to know is what version of Excel you are working with, because many of the features that we're going to talk about today are going to predicate on a specific version of Excel. So with respect to this, if you don't know what version of Excel that you are running, come on over here to the file menu. And from the file menu, drop down here to account. And from the account, you're going to be able to see what version of Excel as well as how your product is licensed. Now, from this section, you'll see, for example, right here in the middle, it'll tell you. Now, in this particular instance, you'll see that I am running Office 365 for Enterprise. Now, the way Microsoft has chosen to license this application, there's a big difference between a subscription model versus the perpetual model. If you bought Excel 2019, unfortunately, you're going to miss out on many of the 365 related features and functions because those are only available to those subscribers. However, if you are a 365 subscriber, you're going to find that there's a lot of additional features and functions that are built into the application that maybe you didn't notice before if you are just a new user to 365. A lot of these features and functions are going to be built around collaboration and communication. If you're utilizing Microsoft Teams, for example, there's a whole wealth of additional opportunities to really not only just use this program, but use this program extremely well. So hopefully you're seeing Office 365 in this. It might say Enterprise, it might not. If it does say Enterprise, that means you have the Pro Plus version of Office. The Pro Plus version of Office has additional features and capabilities inside of Excel that exceed the existing or the standard version that most folks are aware of. This includes things, for example, like the Inquire toolbar. It also includes, for example, the depending on what year of application you're using, it could also include things like Power Pivot as well as some additional data sharing capabilities. So be aware that we are going to be using the 365 version, and there are going to be certain functions that are going to be feature locked to people using 365. The next thing you should know down here is under About Excel, what version of the application you're using. So as well as what update path we are on. In my case, I'm using version 2105. What that means is the year 2021, update number 5, and you'll see that I am in the current channel. Hopefully you're within about 2 or 3 versions of me. Most likely you're not up to where I am, but hopefully you're no further back than about 2102 or so. But most of the stuff we're going to talk about today, as long as you're using 365 and as long as you're using at least 2016 forward, you should be able to access most of the features and functions. Okay, so let's talk about how we would use some data modeling as our first example of what we're going to talk about today. Okay, now data models serve as containers of data inside of Excel. And more specifically, they are when we take 2 different sets of data inside of Excel, and then we allow them to be linked together and allow them to be reported upon as one object rather than 2. And from a reporting perspective, what's great about this is that it allows us to be able to take data from multiple different places, mash it up together inside of Excel, and then be able to report upon it. This is better in every possible way. In this particular example, we've got 3 different sources of data. We have data coming from our chart of accounts. Now, this could be information coming from our accounting system. We have transactional information, and this could be information, for example, coming from our ERP solution, our e-commerce solution. It could be coming from wherever this data might live. And we could also have, in this particular example, a fiscal date conversion tool. Okay. One of the limitations of Excel, and you know, frankly, I don't see how they could ever get around this, is the fact that when we do pivot tables, the data is going to be focused on calendar. You know, so like when we summarize by quarter, we summarize by year, it's always going to be calendar, quarter, calendar, year. And that can be quite frustrating if we are, for example, an organization that is working off of fiscal period instead of fiscal year. So one of the techniques that we can do with this is that we can utilize a conversion tool that allows us to take a date and then convert it to the correct fiscal quarter or fiscal year. So in this particular example, we have a date and then we run some very simple formulas. One of my favorite newer formulas, if you haven't seen this before, is called IFS. For those of you who have never written a logical statements are very, very simple. They have 3 components: what to evaluate, what to do if true, and what to do if false. Now, one of the big issues with if, in its traditional sense, is the fact that with an if statement, what happens if you need to evaluate 2 things or 3 things or 4 things? Well, the way that we've traditionally handled that inside of Excel is that we write what is called a nested if statement. However, it gets really big, really complicated, lots of parentheses, and losing track of essentially what part is evaluating can be quite difficult. What's cool about an IFS statement, and that's IFS, is the fact that we can run multiple tests all concurrently, and whatever one evaluates to true first will be the result. So in this instance here, we're taking a date, January 2nd, 2020. And we are just testing to see if it meets certain characteristics. So if the month, in this case, January, is less than 4, return 3. If the month is less than 7, return 4. If the month is less than 10, return 1, so on and so forth. And that will allow us to be able to evaluate a date and get that fiscal quarter, which is, again, really kind of nice because now we have that fiscal quarter that we can use for our pivot tables. Likewise, we've got one over here. This one is for our year. And if we look at this, same thing. This is just a simple if statement because it's either 1 year or the other. So if it's less than 7, give it the current year -1. If not, return the current year. So we have these three different tables. They could be coming from three different systems. How we get this data in here doesn't really matter at this point. It could be copied and pasted. It could be exported from existing workbooks. Or we could be using our good friend Power Query to be able to import that data in. The takeaway from this is this allows our workbook to have three different sources of where their data is coming from. Instead of having to have one big monolithic report, we rather will have three different reports that can be combined inside of Excel. And from that simple combination, we can have one single unified object that we can report upon. And that one single object that we can report upon, man, does it make life simple and easy. Okay, here's a visual representation of what this looks like. And for more complicated projects, so start thinking about your big enterprise resource planning system, your customer resource management and relationship management systems, your inventory systems, your HR payroll solutions, so on and so forth. Those all normally live in their own ecosystem and in their own field of products, and they're their own thing. Okay. Well, we're often having to take data and put it into Excel, create a whole mess of different lookup formulas, and from those different lookup formulas, be able to create a single unified spreadsheet. And then from that single unified spreadsheet, we will do our reporting from it. But we have to, you know, do a ton of work basically to get it into that single worksheet. With data modeling, we don't have to do that. All that data continue to live in those unified the data objects will continue to live in their own home, and we will unify them into a single data model. And then we will do all of our reporting from this data model rather than from each worksheet individually. I know that might sound maybe a little esoteric, a little bit out there. It'll make more sense as we kind of work through this and you kind of see how we bring this data in. So a question, would this apply if you're trying to export data from your accounting software, QuickBooks, to feed your data model? The answer is absolutely this would apply. You could export data from QuickBooks or any accounting system for that matter, and each worksheet would represent a special or unique aspect of what the data might be. You know, you might, for example, be pulling in data from one table inside of QuickBooks. That might be your chart of accounts, another table that might be your general ledger, another table that might be your customers, so on and so forth. Well, each of those are going to move independently of each other. Your chart of accounts, you might add or remove accounts. There might be additional information. They might have class, for example, up here. Okay. And we would put that data up in that additional class column, and then that would be available to our reporting. But instead of having to have this data where that's multiply duplicated over and over again, we isolate the data into its smallest piece. Now, in computer science, we have this term called the single responsibility principle. Now, broadly speaking, what that means is that you never want something being responsible for more than one thing at a given time. So in this particular instance, for this data model, for this worksheet and this table, it is only responsible for understanding and for storing information related to our chart of accounts. It doesn't hold transactional data. It doesn't hold period data. It just holds our chart of accounts. Likewise, this one is solely focused with related to holding our date data, nothing else. Okay. And so all three of these can move independently with each other, and they can update independently as well. Another question, do we have to buy data models separately, or are they already included in Office 365? No, everything we're going to talk about is natively into the app itself, natively built into Excel. So data models are just a feature of this. You just have to choose to use it. And with many things inside of Excel, it's more around best practices and it's more around the design rather than add-ins. You know, almost everything that that I use inside of Excel is native to the application itself. And it's really just knowing that that's there and then being able to use those tools effectively. And then once you know you're there, you know, you just need to figure out how to apply them to whatever project you're working on. Okay, so let's talk about using this data model to do something. Now, a data model and tables go hand in hand with each other. We'll talk more about here in tables in a minute. I'm just introducing this topic to you. But you always know if you're at a table because you'll see once you're in a specific cell that supports a table, in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see a special contextual aware menu called Table Design. Okay, so data modeling predicates that you have to be using tables to store your data. A table is a quasi database object inside of Excel. And if you're not sure if you're using them or not, you know, come up here to the upper right hand corner and you'll see that table design menu. Okay, and if you see that, then you know you're with the table. We're going to go through tables in depth. So I'm going to save that here for our next chapter. I just wanted to show you where that function might live. And so each of these, even though they're on separate spreadsheets, they don't have to be. I could actually have all three tables on one spreadsheet. Excel will treat them all independently of each other. Okay. Now, to create our data model, we're going to come over here to our data tab. And from our data tab, smack dab in the middle of the workgroup data tools, you will see the relationships button. If we click that relationships button, this allows us to be able to map the relationships between these different worksheets and between these different tables to create our data model. So once we put this in here, what we want to be able to do is that we want to look for the commonalities between these different tables so that we can essentially map them together. Now, if we look at this for our chart of accounts, we've got a column called account number, account name. Let's get rid of our class because I just added that. So we just have two columns here, account number and account name. If we come over here to our periods worksheet, you'll see that we have a column for transaction date, fiscal quarter, and fiscal year. And if we look at our transactions worksheet, what do we have? Well, we have individual transactions, of course, and we have a column for date and a column for account number and a column for amount. Now, to use a data model effectively, you have to have one connection between each of these different objects, meaning we have to have a common column to be able to link these to link these different items together and to make them work as one cohesive unit. So we need to have a little bit of work, essentially making sure that our data is consistent in working, but it doesn't have to be a lot. You know, in this particular case, we just have a linking column. Now, for those of you who are a little bit more familiar with databases, we would call this a foreign key. In a primary key. Now, in the context of our chart of account, our primary key here would be the account number, with the account number representing the account name. In the instance of our periods table, our primary key would be our transaction date, with the transaction date representing, you know, each individual row. In our transaction column, these other keys, like the date here, well, that's a foreign key. Likewise, the account number is a foreign key. And this allows us to be able to go and essentially do a lookup. When we create a data model inside of Excel, in a way, we're like creating a lookup for that particular data inside of the application. You know, the traditional way that we would handle this would be to do this in essentially our transactions table. Let's see, let's call this one account name. And we would essentially be running a big old lookup on each one of those. Okay, and we would be telling it to go and do a lookup. When we create a data model, that lookup is done intrinsically. It's done automatically for us. And so it'll see that account number and it will go essentially do that lookup without us actually having to create that lookup column. So the way we access this from the data tab, right over here, smack dab in the middle, we'll see this relationships column here. And from here, this would be where we would go ahead and map this in. Now, I do want to point out while I'm mapping this in over here, and I'll talk about how I'm doing this. Let me just mention real quick that there are sample files related to this course and podcast. So please, you know, you might want to follow along with me as I'm doing this so you can try it out for yourself. And we are in our first one, just our sample data model. Now, for here, we're going to go ahead and choose our primary table. In this case, for example, maybe our charts, our related table. We're going to go ahead and choose our transactions. And then what we're going to end up choosing here is just the common items between this. In this case, account number to account number and vice versa. And this is what it looks like. You know, we create the relationship between one table to the other by just mapping the common columns. In this case, the chart table to the transactions table, matching on what columns, account number to account number. Likewise, we'll come over here to our periods table to our transactions table, and we would select our transaction date to our date column. The columns don't have to be identically titled with each other. Okay, but rather they just need to be the same data type. Okay, quick question came in. Where are the sample files? For those of you who are following along, there is the sample The sample materials are available on the K2 website. So this course is K2's Next Generation Excel Reporting. And what you would want to do is that you would want to go, okay, in the book, if you look right here up at the top, you'll see there is the information related to this. What you're going to want to do is go to k2e.com. If you don't have an account, create one. You can log in once you've created your account and use course code NGE. NGE would be your course code for this, and then that would allow you to be able to download the materials related to this course. Okay, so here you go. I'll drop that in. Okay, once you download this, you can go ahead and follow along. And really everything we're talking about today is in the book and in these sample materials. And what I will point out with related to these sample materials, every time that you see, for example, figure one, or in this case, figure two, so on and so forth, there is a sample file related to that particular demonstration of whatever we're doing. So please, if you don't have the sample files, you might want to go ahead and get them. Okay, so another way that we can go ahead and we can create our data model, let's just go ahead and take a quick look at this as well, is actually to create our pivot table. So let's go ahead and take a look at that. So to create a pivot table, we would come up here to the insert menu, and from the insert menu, we go ahead and create our pivot table. And one of the things I want to draw your attention to, okay, when you go to create your pivot table, it's always going to ask you where you want to create it from. More on that in a little bit. But if you scroll down and you look, there will be this option that says add this data to the data model. And if we go ahead and we click that little option, what this will do is it will add this table plus every other table in the workbook to the data model for you and allow you to be able to create your data model correctly. So let's go ahead and take a look at this. And what this is going to allow me to do in a nutshell is to be able to create a pivot table from our transaction data plus our period data, plus our chart data. So if you've ever wanted to, for example, create a pivot table from multiple worksheets concurrently, guess what? This is how you do it. So from here, we're going to go ahead and we are going to select whatever columns we would like to appear. Okay, so we're going to pull our date over here to our date column. We'll pull our account number over here. We're going to go home and pull our value or our amount down to our values column. And wait a minute. You know, Steve, didn't you say that you could create a pivot table from multiple worksheets concurrently? But I'm only seeing, if I look at here, data coming from that transaction table. Okay, and you're right. If you look up a little bit, though, see how right under pivot table fields you see active and all? Well, if instead we click that all button, we'll actually see the other tables presented in our worksheet. Okay, and from here, we can go ahead and we can drag these other options with respect to our worksheet. So we'll go ahead and we'll select our periods. We'll pull our periods down here instead of to our dates. We'll pull that out. We're going to go ahead and pull our fiscal year to our columns. We'll pull our fiscal quarter below that. Okay, and likewise, we'll come over here to our chart of accounts, and we're going to pull our account name instead of our account number. Okay, anybody see a problem with this? Okay, well, the problem with this is that the data hasn't been related. And as such, what we end up seeing with this is that we end up seeing a non-related data set that needs to be related. We can always tell that there's something wrong with this because we'll see a bunch of zeros here. Okay, good news is with Excel, it's usually pretty good at telling you when there's an issue. In this particular case here, you'll see it says, hey, you know, your relationships between these tables might be needed. So one of the cool things that you can do with this, you can create your data model automatically. And in this particular case, it should do this. And if it doesn't, you know, you can go ahead and create that data model in that exact same way. So we'll go ahead and click new, and we're going to map over, and we're going to go ahead and map this over here from the transactions table. We're going to go ahead and for the charts table, and we're going to go ahead and select the common fields between these. So from our transactions table to our chart table, we're going to go ahead and choose our account number, and we'll choose account number in the one. Okay, and you'll start to see it provides a little bit of context. And we need to do one more relationship. In this particular case, we're going to choose from our transaction table, and we're going to go ahead and select our periods. And we're going to map it in this way. Now, you might notice I'm doing this again. I didn't actually save it the first time. I was mostly showing you the different ways that you could do it so that you could understand essentially where and how you might want that. Okay, so we've now essentially created our pivot table, and we've created it from multiple worksheets concurrently, which is pretty nifty. And all the other pivot table stuff would normally apply here. So if we wanted to adjust, for example, the accounting format and add that and bring that in, we could easily do that. And that data is now being grouped inside of Excel correctly, which is pretty cool. Okay, I just dropped in a little bit of information here. If you're having some issues finding the sample files, unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to help you directly. There's just too many people, but please feel free to reach out to our office. I've given an email address as well as some recommendations. Feel free to give them a call and they'll be able to help you getting those sample files. So that is a little bit with respect to what we can do with our data modeling inside of Excel. More on that here in a little bit in terms of using our tables to be able to really kind of provide some really advanced capabilities inside of it. This thing, though, this essential features and functions of being able to map in data coming from different places and map in the way that they relate to each other, this is, in my opinion, probably the linchpin of all the major functionality of Excel for this kind of breakthrough functionality. Okay. Now, getting that data in can come in from a number of different ways. One of the most common techniques that we utilize is Power Query. And Power Query serves two purposes. It allows us, for example, to query our data from external data sources. And then it also allows us to transform that data coming in from other purposes. Okay? It is what we refer to as an ETL component, or extract, transform, and load. With extract, transform, and load, it allows us to be able to pull in data from multiple different resources, whether they be a database as an example, or it is another Excel workbook, or it could be folder of data. It could be data from the web. We can take data from these different places, okay, wherever it happens to end up being, and then we can combine it inside of Excel using Power Query and the data modeling capabilities. But the specific way that we are able to go and grab this data, the connector for this different data, well, that comes from Power Query. Power Query will create these different connections that can go out to it, and it can grab that data from any number of sources. Now, one of the cool things about using Power Query is that once the data is loaded inside of Excel, it will store that data inside of that data model, giving you the ability to do everything that I just showed you right now in terms of creating worksheets that combine data coming from multiple different sources. Now, where that functionality lives inside of Excel has been there in the same place for a long time, although I will point out in Excel 2016, it was pretty much a complete rewrite for how that Excel functionality worked. Power Query is located up here in the Data tab. And from the Data tab on the left-hand side, you'll notice you've got this Get and Transform as well as Queries and Connections. Okay, we're going to dive through this here in a minute. I'm just trying to point out where that functionality might live. But this is your range of tools and capabilities with respect to accessing data from multiple places. We could pull in data from static resources, from database resources. Okay, we can pull in data, for example, from SQL servers, from Access databases, and more. Okay, we can modify data from other text files, CSV files, and more. And we can also easily edit this to really kind of bring in whatever additional data that we might need. There's really kind of nothing that Power Query can't connect to, including applications themselves. I'll give you some different examples of that here in a moment. Now, the third functionality is Power Pivot. And Power Pivot, as I mentioned, despite its name, is not a pivot table tool. Rather, contrary to what most folks believe, it is used to modify and work with data models. It doesn't actually produce pivot tables itself. Although I will point out that when you utilize Power Pivot, the only way of returning data back to Excel is to utilize a pivot table. So it will return a pivot table, but it doesn't in fact create a pivot table. That functionality is also going to be available here in the data tab. And if you scroll over here to the right hand side, you'll see you've got this button. It's nice and green. It says manage data model. And if we click that little guy right here, that in fact will load up Power Pivot. Now, Power Pivot, like Power Query, actually exists outside of Excel. It's a component of Excel. It's not a separate application of Excel. But what you will see when you're utilizing it is that it will be in a separate window. It exists in this separate window that we can then do our modifications and work with. Okay. Now, inside of this specific application here, you will see down at the bottom, you have a tab for every table inside of the database or inside of your Excel workbook, chart, transactions, period. And I don't want to confuse you, but those are actually tables rather than the actual worksheets themselves. That'll make more sense here in a little bit. And we can also use this to, for example, create our data model as well. If we switch this from our spreadsheet view and data view, but rather go into our diagram view, which is the button located on the home tab here. Okay, this is going to be where we can see a visual representation about how this data is located. So if you remember, I was talking earlier about how you needed to map in the data from one piece to the other. Okay, so you needed to, for example, map in your account number and date to date. Well, one of the cool things about Power Pivot is that you can actually do this visually if that's what you would prefer rather than just mapping it by text. And this is how I normally would do it. The advantage of this being is that it's a heck of a lot easier, especially if you're working with, you know, 10 or more tables to ensure that everything is touching and everything has a connection to something else, is by also mapping in this data. So with respect to this, what we can do here is that we can pull in the different pieces of this, you know, visually. So we can pull in, for example, our account number and drop this over here to our account number. Okay. And then we can also pull in, for example, our date, and we can map it in over in this way, thereby creating our pivot model as well. Now, for those of you who might have a little trouble reading this, I'll do my best to kind of zoom in so that you can essentially see this as often as I possibly can for this, because I know some of this data can be quite small. I would also recommend that you put your zoom into full screen so that you can see this in maximum resolution, but I'm sending this as large as I possibly can over the Zoom platform, okay? And it should be sending it in HD as well. So this is what Power Pivot can do. The other component of Power Pivot is the data view. And this would be where we would do our DAX in terms of creating additional columns and modifications, as well as writing our formulas. This would be, for example, where we can create additional columns and map in new data if we wanted to. And so what I will point out with data modeling, it has to be in the model itself. So we would need to, for example, use Power Query if we wanted to bring in data outside of the set that we're working with. So we won't really author data inside of Power Pivot, but rather we manipulate the data that we already have access to. And this gives us the ability to be able to do that. So we will use Power Pivot to create and manage the relationships inside of the data model. We will use this to create DAX-based formulas, the data analysis expressions. We will use this to build key performance indicators for our reports, and we will use it to create dimensional and hierarchies to help bring better context to our data models. Now, with a little bit on DAX, okay, the idea behind DAX is the ability to be able to create formulas inside of our data models. This allows us to kind of create smart formulas that we're going to talk more about in a little bit that are kind of, again, quasi-database, quasi-Excel-based formulas. You'll notice that not every single formula inside of Excel is supported in DAX and vice versa. DAX is really kind of its own thing, and it's going to be the language that we're going to have to use if we are going to use the Power Pivot functionality. Now, DAX is a pretty robust language. It's got lots of features and functions that are a component of the actual language itself. kind of a really cool resource that you can check out is dax.guide. Okay, so if I go ahead and I'll go ahead and give you that link right there. This is a really good website that gives fantastic overview over the DAX language itself. And just like Excel has formulas, DAX has its own formulas and its own specific way of doing it. This would be how you would, for example, utilize this. So you can come over here, for example, and learn a little bit about the average function, which works surprisingly exactly the same way that it does inside of Excel. Okay, you point it at a column, it gives you an average for that specific column. So this DAX.guide will give you a good overview with respect to how each of these functions work, the parameters that are required for it, the attributes, and then also what it's going to return, what type of value. And if there's any sort of gotchas, it'll, you know, give you a good way of keeping an example of, you know, kind of what those gotchas might be and how you might want to work around them. Now, other functions, though, don't have a direct equivalent inside of Excel. A good example of this would be the related function. The related function inside of Excel is going to be the function that you would use if you wanted to be able to do a lookup. Okay, the related function returns a related value from another column. Okay, so in this particular example, this would be how you would utilize getting a column from another table. So if you, for example, had a, in our case, you know, we wanted to look up, for example, the account name on the transactions table, we wouldn't use a VLOOKUP or an XLOOKUP, but instead we would use the related function because this is how we would have to do it inside of Excel. Okay, and so that is what it's going to be with respect to how we get that data back. Okay, so this DAX.guide would be how that we would function in and how we would essentially learn to get the data back from Excel for whatever that we choose to use. Okay, I'm seeing some comments here with respect to the files. I'm sorry, give me 1 second. Let me see if I can put them up for you on a separate server. I'm just the instructor, so I don't control all the macro related stuff of how files are distributed, but give me 1 second here and let me see if I can help you all out. Okay. All right, I'm going to put it up on my server and I'm going to give you a link. So just give me a second here. It's got to upload. It's a couple hundred megabytes in size. So it'll just take a second or so and I'll get it over to you. Okay. So that is what we would use with respect to the DAX function for Excel. And we'll talk more about how you would utilize these inside of this. But where we write DAX would be in that power pivot function. And we would typically use it over here in terms of adding another column, or we would use it for creating a KPI or something else like that. Now, the next thing that we want to take a look at would be our slicers and timelines. Okay. Once you get the sample files here in a minute, if you look in chapter one, you'll see the slicers and timeline example. And you can try this out. Okay, now slicers and timelines are a end user function. And what slicers and timelines allow us to do is it allows us to be able to coordinate our data much easier. They actually don't bring any brand new functionality for what we get inside of Excel. With the slicers, they are basically just filtering. They are filtering the data that's already present inside the application, and they are filtering it down to present us with a subset of whatever information is included. But filtering is something that's been inside of Excel really since day one of the application. So what they are is that they are a nice little button. I like to think of them as easy buttons for being able to sort and process our data. And allows the user, for example, to click a single button, you know, West in this particular example, and then notice my data will automatically change. I can click Midwest, likewise, and it'll automatically change. Now, all this is doing is it's just adjusting the filters of the actual report itself. It's not doing any sort of crazy additional calculation. You know, it just essentially allows us to be able to click a button and have that report reset to a specific view and a specific cut of that data. So I like them not as much for myself, but as much with respect to handing this report off to somebody else. Often the work that I am doing on a fairly regular basis is going to be work that I'm going to be handing off to maybe a management team or an owner or something else like that. And they might not have the same familiarity and experience with Microsoft Excel that I do. So the filter buttons, you know, in terms of how we would filter data inside of here and the sorting options inside of Excel might be lost on them. You know, but what they can do, while they might not be able to filter effectively, what they can do is they can click a button. And so these buttons are fantastic with respect to kind of making it a little bit easier for people to be able to work and be able to sort their data. Now, likewise, we have timelines. Timelines work the exact same way, but they are focused rather on, instead of a category or a tag, but rather on a period of time. And so they give you a timeline that you can essentially click through. In this case, I can click quarters, or I can come up here in the upper right-hand corner and I can adjust the time period from quarters and instead go to years. And it gives me a visual representation of that data. And notice as I stretch or I contract this, you know, from 2020 to 2021, 2022, we'll see that data set inside of it grow. So what's really nice about this is that it gives us the ability to be able to modify what is presented to the end user very cleanly and very succinctly. So that is, those in a nutshell are kind of like our main features of our next generation Excel reporting. Let's talk.
Welcome back, colleagues. I hope you enjoyed our presentation for today. Let's go ahead and have three quick review questions and then wrap up. Our first question: what is the predicating tool to use in Excel for making reports? Well, one of the beautiful things about Excel is that you can make reports any number of ways using any number of methods. I bet if I gave everybody listening a report topic and we had 100 people, we get 100 different ways of producing that report. Saying that though, we're talking about next generation Excel reporting. So is it slicers and timelines? No, that's a great answer though for how we can enhance our reports. Is it data analysis expressions? No, that would be a great way for modifying the data in our data model using formulas. Is it Power Query? No, Power Query is a great way of getting data into our data model, but ultimately the way that we are going to build everything that's going to come on our report using that next generation approach is the data model itself, ultimately using tables and that relational methodology for producing reports. Slicers, timelines, DAX, all built around utilizing data models. Our second review question: what additional tools are available to Microsoft 365 for enterprise subscribers? Is it the Inquire toolbar? You betcha, that is something you get. Power Pivot, depending on the year. Yep, it is now thankfully included in all versions of Microsoft Excel, but previously it was only available to Power users of Excel or enterprise subscribers. Extra data sharing tools. Yep, that is something that we get being an enterprise subscriber. So the correct answer here is all of the above. Our third review question: when creating a pivot table that uses data from multiple spreadsheets, what must you do? Do you need to create a new workbook? No, you don't need to do that. Do you need to create one massive spreadsheet? Nope, you don't need to do that either. But at a very minimum, you need to create a relationship between the different spreadsheets, or worksheets is probably a little bit more succinct. A data model is unique to a workbook, but it is shared across all worksheets inside of that workbook. It's one data model per workbook though. Well, thank you for your time and attention and watching today. We covered a lot of material and we're just getting started with respect to where we're going to go with this next generation reporting. Today, we talked about what next generation reporting is and kind of gave you an overview with respect to how this is a cornerstone of modern reporting. We also dove into a couple of the first basic things inside of this section, including getting our data with Power Query and kind of doing some basic manipulation of that data inside of Excel. In future courses in this series, we're going to go ahead and discuss in detail the data model structure. We're going to create some more sample tables. We're going to dive deeper and deeper into using that data modeling, as well as each of the major features of the next generation reporting, including DAX, data analysis expressions, slicer timelines, and an even deeper look into Power Query and Power Pivot. Now, I do want to remind you, if you're a financial professional, you can receive credit for watching or listening to today's class. After watching or listening, head on over to cpetoday.com. Today's course code is NGE1. Take a short 5-question quiz and you can earn a credit for today's class. Super simple and is a great way to stay on top of your credits to keep your license. Besides our continuing education podcast, we have lots of other courses and great topics, which I think you will enjoy. When you purchase a course, you can ask questions. You can reach out if you've got specific help or guidance on things to myself and the other instructors. So please consider supporting the channel and check out cpetoday.com. If you like our material, and I hope you do, please consider following us on social media. You can find us on virtually all social media at cpetoday. You can subscribe to us on YouTube, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook and Instagram and more. And as always, you can listen to our show either live most weeks on Fridays at 11 a.m. Pacific or on your schedule on wherever you happen to get your content, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, and others. It is a pleasure being with you here today. Thank you so much for your time and attention. Best wishes, and we'll see you back in the office soon.